All right, if you will turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12, and I'll be reading chapters 4 through 6. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone.
All right. You probably know that we're going through the book of Romans in the mornings. And just, I think it was last week or week before, we heard these words, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, and to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members don't all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individual members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let's use them." That's Romans chapter 12, verses 3 and following. So, those are such potent verses and such a large idea that we wanted to. I have a joke in mind. Where's Claude? We wanted to get through with Romans, so we didn't do it there. So we brought it into here to talk about spiritual gifts, because there's 19 or 20 spiritual gifts. Everybody acknowledges that the list of spiritual gifts that are given to us in the Scriptures are not exhaustive, meaning that they don't mention everything. The variety of God's gifts flow out of His creativity. And that is a bottomless well of creativity, and He knows the needs of every person and every place, and He works accordingly. So over the next several weeks, we're going to talk on Sunday nights about various spiritual gifts and what it looks like for those to be operating in the life of our church, and hopefully that every one of us will emerge from not only this message, but from this series with a greater sense, I think, a greater sense of awe at what God has done, that in Jesus Christ, He comes and manifests Jesus through each other, that we experience Christ through each other, and that, man, God, people experience Christ through us. It is an amazing privilege and honor and rush that we have, that God uses us in the carrying out and building up of His kingdom. Now, Asa read one of the passages that talk about the gifts, the one from Corinthians. You'll want to keep your finger in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. I'll also ask if you'll scoot over with me to page 1296 in those Pew Bibles. It's the first letter from Peter. It's 1 Peter chapter 4. I'll be referencing several different passages, but I think the 1 Peter passage in a concise way helps me to get at what I think is the overview of spiritual gifts that we would want to enter this series understanding and relishing. All right, so you there? 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 say this: "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen and amen." All right. Here's the four things from 1 Peter. It's that everybody's got a gift. I got a gift, you got a gift. All God's children got gifts. Secondly, that we are to be stewards of the grace that God has given to us. He's given you gifts and abilities for a reason. That the kingdom of God is meant to be built up, extended, maintained because of what He has put latent in you by His Spirit. So, everybody's got one. They're to be stewarded wisely. They can come in words or deeds. Some people speak, some people serve. Of course, we commingle, but they come in words and deeds. And then fourth, they are all for the glory of God. Those are the four things. Let's go. All right. Each and every one has a gift. I get that. I dug that out from verse 10, where it says, as each has received a gift. Plumbed that out for you. Everybody's gotten a gift. Same thing happens in Corinthians, where Paul says there's a variety of gifts, varieties of activities, but the same Lord who empowers them all. Verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Everybody has gifts. There are two major mistakes to make when you're thinking about the gifts of God. And one is, in speaking about the church, one is to say, y'all don't need me. And the other one is to say, I don't need y'all. I don't care how shy or how ungifted you may think you are. I'm here on the authority of God's word to say He has gifted you. He has, by His Spirit, given you abilities, burdens, gifts, that when you use them and manifest Christ in the world, the kingdom of God is built up, God is glorified, we are strengthened. This is probably a good point for me to give you some definitions of a spiritual gift. First, from Tim Keller, he says a spiritual gift is an ability that comes to you freely for the purpose of ministering to needs so as to build up Christian community in size and in depth. Jack Packer says, a spiritual gift is an ability in some way to express, celebrate, display, and so communicate Christ. John Piper says, the abilities given by the Spirit which express our faith and aim to strengthen the faith of others. So, you hear in there that God has given each one of us a gift. All of these gifts come from Christ. They come out of His victory. Remember talking to a fellow who was growing up in the UK in the 50s, and if I have my year right, I believe that the Queen was ordained in 53, and whatever year it was, he says he remembers that he lived in the countryside. They came out, whoever sends them, they sent people out to the countryside to give gifts to all of the children because the king or the queen has ascended to her throne and been coronated. She rules from on high, and therefore you receive these gifts. It is a perfect picture of the reality that the resurrected Christ has ascended on high and He rules and reigns, and from there He gives gifts. That's exactly what Ephesians 4 says. I'm going to read a bit to you in the midst of a quote. Every Christian, by being united to Jesus, receives the Holy Spirit as the one central gift from God. The Holy Spirit then distributes particular gifts, which differ one person to another. All these gifts are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. And then Sinclair Ferguson says this, the ascended Christ strengthens the unity of the diverse members of His church by gifts. These gifts are the external manifestation of the triumph of the enthronement of Christ. Paul underlines this by the way he cites Psalm 68 when he says in Ephesians 4, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. The outpouring of these gifts of the Spirit marked the downfall of Christ's enemies and the beginning of the building of the church. As in the case of when God built His Old Testament tabernacle and gave out gifts to do that, so in the case of the building of the new temple of God, gifts of the Spirit are given to equip the people of God and to enable us to set on display the glory of God, the fullness of Christ in the temple of God. Christ thus adorns His bride, the body. So all that to say, Jesus has gone to great lengths to give these gifts to His people. He has been crucified, raised, and ascended, and it is from control central that Jesus from the throne of God has given these gifts to us. These are the ways that He extends His kingdom. One more quote. I can't find it. Maybe I'll stumble upon it later. Basically, J.I. Packer said, this is how the kingdom of God moves forward, by spiritual gifts, by people using their gifts. That's how God knocks over evil and establishes good. It's a big deal. I hope you feel it. Every time somebody uses their gifts on your behalf or for your benefit, I hope you begin to hear that that is the sound of victory. That's happening because Christ rules from the throne. And every time God uses your gift, wonder of wonders that He would use us. I hope that that is the fireworks of celebration, that we are on the side victorious, that the reality of spiritual gifts and that each and every one of us have them means this: Christ is on the throne and He's generous, and He has given to each one of us diverse gifts that we would all use them for His glory. Now, notice in the receiving and in the giving, I think that's important, as each received a gift, they're not yours, they're not mine. When I was younger, my first child got their first cell phone. I tried this thing, and looking back on it, it was stupid, but in principle, it was real and true. I used to say to them, hey, you know that phone of mine that I let you carry around? I've never referred to it as his phone. Is that, you know, that phone of mine that I let you carry around? Well, it didn't work in parenting, but it was true. And in the same way, God will say to us, you know that gift of mine that I let you carry around and that I am pleased to use in you? Don't ever forget who empowers it, who provides it, that we are the receivers of that gift. And every one of you has amazing gifts and you have seen God use them. Do not be proud. Know this, that it is His power that makes them, and they can be gone like that, or He can just decide to stop using them like that. Every time He uses our gifts, it is a gift of His grace. It is a triumph of Jesus. And that's just good. Okay. So everyone's received. And then secondly, we are to be stewards of our varied grace. You see that the language, the image that Paul gives us, he says in verse 10, as good stewards of God's varied grace. In Romans, Paul says, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. He also says that He has given gifts that differ. So, here's the idea. Everybody's gifts are different. Some overlap, all of that kind of stuff. But the reality is this, God's given you gifts, and He's given other people other gifts. And we all are under this one wise King and good Father who knows what He's doing when He gives you this gift and doesn't give it to me. And when he gives me this gift and doesn't give it to you, he knows what he's doing to extend his kingdom. He puts the right people in the right places. And so you may feel weak, or you may feel like, what do I have to offer? You have to offer because he has put you there. If he has put you there, he is empowering you and has gifted you to bring glory to his name by serving the people around you. That's the idea. We are recipients of grace, and it is our duty to disperse this grace for others. And the vehicle by which we do this is through our spiritual gifts. Now, I'm going to give you some categories for those of you who like categories. The spiritual gifts in the New Testament are never neatly lined up in categories, but you know how we like to organize stuff. And maybe we'll get a blessing because I'm going to organize it under the headings of prophet, priest, and king. Jesus is the only person who has ever had all the gifts. He's got them all, and he gives them to his people. He's the ultimate prophet, the ultimate priest, and the ultimate king, but he gives us these our spiritual gifts can be placed in these categories. The prophetic gifts, these are abilities based on understanding and articulating truth. Prophetic gifts, understanding and articulating truth. He gifts some people towards that end. The priestly gifts, these are abilities based on understanding and supplying needs. He gives some people these gifts. I'll never forget, I used to have a friend, and we would go somewhere, and we would talk to one person, and this guy would, we'd get back in the car, and he would say to me, that guy's angry. Or he would say to me, that guy's lonely. And I would say, how do you know this? And he said, I just listen. What are you doing, Rob? He said, I just listen. Well, he had a gift at understanding needs. And that's a spiritual gift. It's a priestly gift. Abilities based on understanding and supplying needs. And then the kingly gifts. Abilities based on understanding direction and group needs. Whenever somebody's administrating, whenever somebody's scheming in the good way, planning, that's the kingly gift being used. So you have the prophetic gifts, which are articulating and understanding truth. You have the priestly gifts, which are understanding needs and serving them. And then you have the kingly gifts, which are understanding the needs of this group and leading them in that direction. So all of those things are in Christ, and he has given those to us. Those are the diverse gifts that we have been given as a body and are to be watering ours and using ours and seeking to, and asking him, use my gift to encourage people. Make me sensitive to when those can be. Thirdly, there's the word and the deed. If you look in verse 11, he breaks it down in 1 Peter just like this. He says, whoever speaks. So if your spiritual gift is speaking, as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Now you'll notice in both of these, if your gifts at that time call for you to speak, you speak according to God's words. Not your own wisdom or insight, but according to God's truth. And if you serve, you don't serve because you're so strong or because you're so tenacious, but because God supplies strength for you to serve. Every spiritual gift has this incredible humbleness built into it because we receive them all with empty hands from the ascended Christ, and then we can only carry them out in dependence upon God's word and God's strength. So you see how it all redounds to the glory of God, that we need him every hour with every gift. No matter how gifted you are, we need him if there's going to be anything of good done. Grace can be dispersed, and it is dispersed to others by word and deed. And you've probably felt all of these. You know, this morning, Claude mentioned a text message that he had received where somebody had said, you know, I'll take this trip with you to do this, to lay, I'll just go ahead and say it. Somebody wrote him and said, hey, if you want to go anoint your sick father with oil, I'd be glad to drive the 4 hours back, anoint him with oil, and drive the 4 hours to Montgomery. That's a trip I'd love to take. And you could just see, even as Claude was talking about it, how those words had strengthened and empowered. And we all have known that when somebody says a timely word to us, or we hear a message just in a class or in a sanctuary, where it just strengthens us and convinces us I'm not alone. I can go on. God's still working. All these good things. And then you've also just come home, and maybe somebody has brought, when you're sick, you just look outside and there's Gatorade and there's all kinds of drugs, and it's something that words can't express. That there's just, somebody has served you. And we can all think of myriad ways that people have just gone out of their way for us. That's God building his kingdom. It's not just carrying some Gatorade over. It is meeting the need of this family. And so we do that, and we experience them, and we do them in word and in deed. And then fourth, it is all for the glory of God. Continuing in verse 11, right after the little hyphen, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. All of this is for God's glory. The spiritual gifts, if they mean anything, they mean this, that they are given for the glory of God as it builds up other people. So the things that God has gifted you in, they are not for you to get your identity. They are not for you to feel good about yourself. They are for the glory of God. And they are for the good of other people. And so when we are using them, there has to be this eye that my using of my gifts is not about me. There's no hubris in it. There's all kinds of confidence in God. But there's no pride or sense of that this is about me. That's what we fight. Because God's gifted many of you in great ways, and you know it. So, it is all towards the building up of the body. I'm going to hop back to the Corinthians passage. To each, verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And this is a theme in Ephesians 4 where it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It is also that we would be built up and mature as a church. The eyes are always on the church being strengthened. The church working together to do its mission. Just a couple of examples, and then we'll go home early on a VBS night. So I know of a church where some people there who don't speak English, some people attend there who don't speak English well. And so they come and hear English preaching. And then later in the week, they meet with their friends who brought them to the English-speaking church, and they go over phrase by phrase, stop and play that sentence from the sermon. What does that mean? Okay. Play the next sentence from the sermon. What does that mean? And they go through the sermons like this. And people are becoming Christians in this way, who don't speak English are being brought into faith in Jesus this way. Now look at all the gifts that are going on there. There's a preacher, yes. There's a friend who invited somebody. There's a friend who sits down and goes through it sentence by sentence by sentence. There's a sound guy up there who made sure that it got captured. There's a lady in the office back there who makes sure that it gets up into the interwebs. And there's all kinds of stuff that had to happen here on that day for preaching to happen. How the choir impacted the preacher, all of that. That's an example where nobody gets all the glory except for Jesus, because he's using the varied gifts that people have and using them for his glory to do his work, so that each member does its little part and God builds something huge. In the same way, even this week, we just heard of a couple things. VBS. VBS will happen this week, and there will be, I'll never forget. Y'all know Tommy Bopp in this church? Tommy Bopp grew up going to VBS here. Tommy Bopp has a lot of scripture memorized, and he did it all on Wednesday or Thursday night as VBS was ending, because he learned there was a reward. He had not done anything, and then he, boom, downloaded it all and learned it all. And he still lives off of those scriptures that he was taught in VBS here a bunch of years ago. And so this week, the Spirit of God will be pleased to do gospel work in these hallways and in these rooms. He will bring children to faith in himself. Others he will build up. They won't even know what's happening. They'll just know, I believe Jesus loves me, and I believe the church is my home. And that's all you need for life. And it'll happen because somebody did these amazing decorations out there. Somebody designed them. Somebody carried them out. And other people are bringing snacks, and other people are teaching, and other people are walking the children from here to there, and other people are at home praying fervently, and all this stuff's happening. And at the end of this week, the Lord will be pleased. And we won't know all of it, but he will have been pleased to do great things in the lives of young people and of some older people. And it's all because this little army, who also has varied gifts, has come together and offered their little gift to God. And he puts them all together and builds something glorious and large. So I'll end by just simply saying, the Lord Jesus Christ has gifted you. He's purchased you, and he didn't purchase you simply to be forgiven and set on a shelf and await heaven. He purchased you so that you would be forgiven and in the game of breaking the back of evil and of extending the reign of grace. He's empowering that. You're made for this. And I encourage you, do whatever it takes to lean into your gifts and to look for and to experiment with your gifts, all for the glory of God and the building up of his people. Let's pray. Almighty God, you and you alone are worthy of all glory and honor. You and you alone have the kind of wisdom needed to distribute these gifts. I pray that everyone within the sound of my voice would feel in their bones that the Lord Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, has empowered and gifted them in unique ways for the unique places where he puts them. Would you do that for the honor of your name? We do pray for this week that you would go before us, that in VBS and in the choir tour, that Trinity Church would be experiencing gospel ministry and the moving forward of the kingdom of God and the building up of us in the midst of that, as we love one another and make your name known by the power of your Spirit. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen and amen.